So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 9, texts 12 through 21. They put 21 on the board, so that is the one we will chant.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Shri Deva Upshu Vayu Ambara Agni Up Chitaya Triloka Brahma Adaya Ye Vayam Udvanja Udvijanta Rama Asmai Balim Antaka Aso Bibheti Yasmat Aranam Tata Na Shri Deva Uchu Vaivam Paragnat Yacharas Triloka Brahmadayo ye vayam udvijanta Rama yasmai velamanta kosau Vibheti yasmad aranam tatona Shri Deva Uchu Vaivam paragnyap Chitayas Triloka Brahmadayo ye vamadudvijanta Rama yasmai velamanta koso Bibheti yasmad aranam tatona.
Janta Rama yasmai belaman katosau Vibheti yasmadaranam tatona.
Maharajis,
Deva Uchu. Vaivam paragnam yapcha chitta triloka Brahmadayo ye vayam udvijanta Rama yasmai paramanta kosau Vibheti yasmat naranam tatona.
Say
deva uchu. Vaivam varagna piyapcha chitta dyoka. Adiyo ye vayam unvijanta. Padaman katosau. Eti yasman daranam tatosau. Shri deva uchu.
The demigod said,
Vayu,
composed of air,
Ambara,
sky,
Agni,
fire,
Up,
water,
Chitaya,
and land,
Triloka,
the three worlds,
Brahma Adaya,
beginning from Lord Brahma,
Yay.
Who,
vayam,
we,
udvijanta,
being very much afraid,
harama,
offer,
yasmai,
unto whom,
balim,
presentation,
antaka,
the destroyer, death,
aso,
that,
bibeti,
fears,
yasmat,
from whom,
adanam,
shelter,
tata,
therefore,
na,
our. So to catch the context, I'll go ahead and read the translations from starting with text 12. Thereafter, from the southern side of the sacrificial fire known as Anvaharya, came a fearful personality who looked like the destroyer of the entire creation at the end of the millennium. Like arrows released in the four directions, the demon's body grew day after day. Tall and blackish, he appeared like a burnt hill and was as lustrous as a bright array of clouds in the evening. The hair on the demon's body, in his beard and mustache, were the color of melted copper, and his eyes were piercing like the midday sun. He appeared unconquerable, as if he were holding the three worlds on the points of his blazing trident. Dancing and shouting with a loud voice, he made the entire surface of the earth tremble, as if from an earthquake. As he yawned again and again, he seemed to be trying to swallow the whole sky with his mouth, which was as deep as a cave. He seemed to be licking up all the stars in the sky with his tongue and eating the entire universe with his long, sharp teeth. Seeing this gigantic demon, everyone in great fear ran here and there in all directions. That very fearful demon, who was actually the son of Tvashta, covered all the planetary systems by dint of austerity. Therefore, he was named Vitra, or one who covers everything. Purport: in the Vedas it is said, Asam imal lokan abrinotad vitrasasya vritatvam. Because the demon covered all the planetary systems, his name was Vitrasura. The demigods, headed by Indra, charged the demon with their soldiers, striking him with their own transcendental bows and arrows and other weapons. But Vitrasura swallowed all their weapons. Struck with wonder and disappointment upon seeing the strength of the demons, the demigods lost their own strength. Therefore, they all met together to try to please the Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, by worshipping him. The demigod said, the three worlds are created by the five elements, namely ether, air, fire, water, and earth, which are controlled by various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma. Being very much afraid that the time factor will end our existence, we offer presentations unto time of performing our work as time dictates. The time factor himself, however, is afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, let us now worship that Supreme Lord who alone can give us full protection. Purport by our beloved Srila Prabhupada. When one is afraid of being killed, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is worshipped by all the demigods, beginning from Brahma, although they are in charge of the various elements of this material world. The words vibhaiti yasmat indicate that all the demons, regardless of how great and powerful, fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, being afraid of death, took shelter of the Lord and offer him these prayers. Although the time factor is fearful to everyone, fear personified is afraid of the Supreme Lord, who is therefore known as Abhay, fearless. Taking shelter of the Supreme Lord brings actual fearlessness, and therefore the demigods decided to take shelter of the Lord.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Vada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Dam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine.
So, we can see here the difference between a demigod and a pure devotee. The demigods, even though they are so powerful, such great controllers of the universe, they are afraid of death. But the pure devotee, he is not afraid of death. Mare Krishna, Rake Krishna, Mare Ke. He has no fear of death. Abhaya. Completely fearless. Prabhupada explains very nicely in one lecture. For the devotee, death simply means you go to sleep and you wake up with Krishna. So what's the problem? Would you mind going to sleep and waking up with Krishna in his transcendental lila right now? If you nighted out and woke up in Krishna's pastimes, would you mind? No, we'd love him, you see. So a devotee, death is a piece of cake, or as we say in the Vedic culture, it's a gulab jamun. No big deal. If Krishna wants me to take birth again to serve his mission, no problem. You see, devotee is completely surrendered whatever Krishna wants. That's all. Na dhanam na janam na sundari kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmadishvare bhavatad bhaktirahaita kitvai. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want women. I don't even care if I get liberated from the cycle of birth and death. All I ask is, my dear Lord, keep me always engaged in serving you with my every thought, word, and deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, in a pure mood of love. That's the only desire devotee has, you see. That's it. If he has that, no problem, you see. He could be in any situation, any planet, in any universe, in any ashram. Doesn't matter. Brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, it doesn't matter, you see. Pure bhakti purchases Krishna, you see. By pure bhakti, Krishna becomes your personal property. So how do we cultivate pure bhakti? That is the whole... There's a movement called the Krishna Consciousness Movement. That is the whole purpose of the movement. The temples are secondary. The buildings, all the management, this is secondary business. The primary business of the Hare Krishna movement is that the members will cultivate pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti. That's our prime business, you see. The other things, they are externals, managing the temples, managing my household life, book distribution, all of these things are absolutely vital. It's our missionary activities. But they are simply the outward manifestations of what's going on inside, and that is the cultivation of pure devotional service. Actually, both things are going on parallel tracks. Just like we sing every morning, Bahir Nasimho, Hridaye Nasimho. Nishinga within, Nishinga without, you see. I'm cultivating Nishinga Dev within, pure bhakti, that may the Lord may be fully situated in my heart. And externally, you see, we want to Krishnaize the whole world. That is our mission. We want to completely Krishnaize the inside, you see, Hridaya Nasingha. And we want to completely, totally Krishnaize the outside, Bahir Nasingha. Bahir Nasingha means the Sankirtan movement, you see. That is the mood of the Vaishnavas. They cannot tolerate to see anyone in a suffering condition. Therefore, the Vaishnavas pray, Svastayastu Vishvashakala Brasidatam, Dikyantaputani Shivang Matodaya, Manastra Rajam Bujatam Madokshaje, Niveshitam No Matarapyahaitaki. May there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. May all envious persons become pacified. Let everyone become calm by engaging in bhakti yoga, for by practicing devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain fully absorbed in thoughts of Him. The Vaishnavas simply want to revolutionize the whole universe. That is their consciousness. Bahir Nasingha, Hridaye Nasingha. And they are completely without any fear, because they know that Krishna is perfectly arranging everything for them at every minute, how they can come back to Him as quickly and as easily as possible. For a Vaishnava, even a hellish day is a wonderful day. Even the most hellish day is the most wonderful day, you see. Because, well, Krishna is reminding me, this is not my home. This is not my place to be an enjoyer of this material world, you see. So that even a hellish, nightmarish day is the most, is the greatest blessing for the Vaishnava, you see. Doesn't matter. Happiness and distress is all the same for the devotee, because he sees the loving hand of Krishna acting in every sort of situation, blessing him in every situation. This is called Krishna consciousness. There is that movement, Krishna consciousness movement. So Let's move with the movement. From lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy to Shuddha Bhakti. You have to see how you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Are you advancing in Krishna consciousness? Are you advancing every day? More, becoming more Krishna conscious? You see, don't become stagnant. What happens to stagnant water? If it doesn't flow, it becomes dirty. You see, flowing water is very clean. So we should always be flowing like a flowing stream. More Krishna. Today I must be more Krishna conscious than I've ever been in my whole life. At this minute now, I should become more Krishna conscious than I've ever been in my whole life. That's how we should be living, each minute. How can I become more Krishna conscious this minute than I've ever been in my eternal existence? For every kirtan, for every class, every round of japa, every service I do, every plate I wash, every book I distribute, every floor I sweep, everything I do must be in this mood. How can I come to pure devotional service ASAP as soon as possible? Because there's really nothing else that can satisfy us. Ahaitakya pratyata yogyatma supersedati. Unless your devotional service is free of all material motives and it's going on 24/7 without any interruptions at all, you won't be fully satisfied. Why cheat yourself by anything less than pure devotional service? We're doing it right now. We are cheating ourselves by giving ourselves something less than pure devotional service in our consciousness. Do you know you're cheating yourself right now? You are cheating yourself right now. I'm cheating myself. We're all cheating ourselves because we're not coming to pure devotional service immediately. So do you like to be cheated? And why are you cheating yourself? You see? Why are you cheating yourself? Don't cheat yourself. Come to pure devotional service. The acharyas are pushing us, rascals. You see? Come to pure devotional service. Lord Chaitanya is pushing. Jeev jago, jeev jago, goda chandra bole. How long will you sleep in this lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, you fool, you rascal? How long will you sleep like this, hanging on to these anarthas? Come out of this nonsense. Come out of the dark cloud of illusion. Come to pure devotional service. They're pushing us, pushing us. Prabhupada said, practically I am whipping them. This Chivit book, this Chivit book, this Chivit book, you see. By this preaching mission, that is the best purification. The yogis are sitting in the Himalayas doing all the austerities in the snow, you see. Or coming down to the desert. That is nothing compared to the austerity of pushing for the Sankirtan movement. That is the greatest austerity and the greatest opportunity for spiritual advancement. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So how much do you want Krishna, Prabhu? How much do you want Krishna, Mataji? Is it? Well, the more you give him, the more you get him. So we have to think how we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. That is the order given by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He said, become guru. He gave us an instruction. His disciples in Los Angeles, he said, now you become guru and you deliver the whole world. Wow. I can hardly deliver myself. And Prabhupada's ordered me to deliver the whole world. You see, that's the order he gave us, his followers. That is our family business. Just like I get my kurtas at Ganga Prasad, their family business is cloth. You see. You see. We have our ISKCON family business. Save the world. That is our mission. Our mission is to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Family business. If you're a member of the family, you take up the business. If you don't take up the business, you're just loitering on the outskirts. You're not really one of the family members. Every ISKCONer, he's really an ISKCONer, is thinking, what can I do to help make this world Krishna conscious as soon as possible? The whole society is falling apart at the seams. It's becoming more and more decadent, more and more degraded. Prabhupada clearly spoke against man-to-man marriage, but now it's become the accepted norm. Mr. So-and-so has Mr. So-and-so as his husband. It's becoming accepted by the leaders, accepted in the society. They're becoming so degraded. Mr. and Mrs. lesbians. It's becoming accepted, socially accepted. If you don't accept it, you're considered some kind of a fanatic. That's the modern day mentality. You see. If you're not in favor of gay marriage, what's wrong with you? You must be some antique. You see? It's becoming so degraded. And the morality will go down and down and down and down. It's simply going down, 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 down. With every passing year, the only hope is this Krishna consciousness movement. This is the only hope of the world society to have any degree of sanity. Actually, it is only because of this movement that the world is even maintaining whatever level of order it has right now. Kali Yuga means total anarchy. This was even predicted by the poet Yeats. He said, "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world." That's where we're heading. It's predicted in the Bhagavatam. The whole world will be cannibals. It's I eat you or you eat me. And then instead of good morning, how are you doing? It's, well, am I going to eat you or are you going to eat me? Who's stronger? You see, that'll be the new thing. Will I eat you or you eat me? So it'll be a very, very fearful time. You see. But there is a wonderful benediction. The golden era of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which began 500 years ago with his advent in Mayapur. There will be a golden era in which the whole world will become inundated with Krishna Bhakti. And we are the most fortunate persons who get to be pioneers in that inundation. It's clearly stated by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, "Saj janna dur janna pangu jadda anagana prema vanyaya dumaila jagatera janna." This Krishna consciousness movement, it is prema tsunami, tidal wave of love of God. It will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, whether you're pious, impious, lame, invalid, or blind. Everyone will become drowned. So you can imagine what is our great good fortune. We get to be the pioneers in a complete transformation of a whole universe. The whole universe will be transformed by this Krishna consciousness movement. And we get to be the pioneers who started it off, you see. It's like in American history, we studied all the great pioneers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, the great heroes who established the United States of America. You see. We worship them. They're on our money, you know, the great heroes. You see. Well, we get to be great heroes. Because we don't want to, we're not asking to be recognized, but we get to be the heroes who actually assisted Srila Prabhupada in establishing this movement which will completely transform world history. So don't get caught up simply in the day-to-day anxieties of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Have that broader vision of the global Sankirtan mission, the universal Sankirtan mission, and try to see how you can play a part. Prabhupada compares this to Indian railways. They had one poster. It said, "Every employee should see that the wheel on the train is turning." Now, how many employees are actually the engineers sitting there pulling the throttle on the engine car to pull the train out of the station? Only a very small number. But yet, every employee is to see that the wheel on the train is turning. Sri Prabhupada gives the example, there's some clerk, he's sitting in the office, he signs the paper to authorize the train to roll out. There's somebody sweeping up. So everybody plays their role. So everyone should play the role, whatever is given to you by your spiritual master, by your temple authorities. Play the role you've been given. And understand, you are a part of this world deliverance mission. Every devotee has a key role to play in this world deliverance mission. Try to understand how you can play your key role in the best possible way to maximize your spiritual advancement and to maximize the inundation of this world with Krishna consciousness as soon as possible. You see? This is intelligent. This is a proper understanding of our philosophy. So be happy, make the world happy. That is our mission. I was remembering when I read this first sentence in the purport, one is afraid of being killed, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I had that experience one time. My wife and I had been off preaching up in Texas Panhandle, and then this huge blizzard rolled in North Texas, and we were heading back on the highway, and it's pretty treacherous driving, but we got finally back to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and I don't know why, but I foolishly took a little county road instead of taking the freeway. It was a shortcut. This is one of the biggest mistakes I ever made in my life, taking a little county road, a little two-lane county road. And as soon as we got on that road, we're driving along, you know, the car went into a 270-degree spin. It was pure ice. The road was pure ice, and there was a big drop-off on each side. 270-degree spin. And we went flying off the road through the air backwards. And my wife and I knew, this is it. We're finished. We're goners. It's all over. She was going, Hare Krishna. And I went, Nisringadev. This is it. The impact will happen in a second. It'll all be finished. You know, boom, gone. The most amazing thing happened. There was a huge snowfall. And we landed in this huge, it was like a snow cushion. I couldn't believe it. The car went flying off the road, and it landed in a cushion of snow. And there wasn't even a scratch. The car wasn't hurt. We weren't hurt. It was nothing happened. It was amazing. But we had gotten the opportunity to be tested if we would chant at the time of death. And we did, by Krishna's grace. And actually, now we're stuck on the side of the road, and the road's way up here, and we're way down there. But some Christians, good Samaritans, were out in their event from their church to help people who had gotten stranded. And my wife went running up. I said, what are you doing? And my foolish lording it over mentality, you know. What are you doing running up on the road? I was thinking. She didn't listen to me. She just ran up on the road, and she waved her arms, and they came to us first. Because she had the intelligence to go up and wave her arms. There were so many people who had been stranded. They came to our car first. And we had a little one of those little early Toyotas, a little early Toyota, little tiny Toyotas. And they were able, just about 12 of them were able to get behind it and just push it by human power back up onto the road. We made it in time for the Sunday feast. We thought we were dead, but now we're sitting at the Sunday feast. You see? So it really pays to chant the name of God when you're in danger. We have personal experience. When you're in danger, you think it's all over, just chant the name of God. I had another experience too. We were in our Miami temple many years ago. But something introduced in ISKCON after I joined, it was hot milk in the evening. I don't know if every temple does that, but used hot milk in the evening was hot milk and Krishna book in the evening was the standard. So we're sitting in the Prasadam room in the Miami temple on Kumquat Avenue, and having our hot milk, prasadam, hearing Krishna book, and all of a sudden two thieves come in. They had made their first stop at the kitchen. They had knocked Dharmadas on the head to knock him unconscious. He faked it. He actually wasn't unconscious. And they tied him up. And they grabbed one Brahmacharini and they brought her as a hostage to the temple. So they came into the prasadam room with a gun at the Brahmacharini's head. And she was going, and her hand on the mouth, she was going, ooh! They had the gun at her head, and they said, everybody get down on the floor. Pretty heavy. One guy had, they had a man, you know, stocking over his face. One guy had a rifle and the other guy had a pistol. Two guys. It's a pretty heavy scene. So I was sitting there on the stairs looking over the whole scene. So I decided not to get down on the floor. I just chanted Nisringadev. I said, Nisringadev! Well, that Brahmacharini no longer had the gun pointing at her. Now I had the gun pointing at me. So I was thinking, now's the time to negotiate. I said, we're your friends, what do you want? But the whole amazing thing that happened was the temple treasurer, he said, where's the money? Give us the money, we want the money. The amazing thing was the temple treasury adjoined the prasadam room. The treasury was right there. There was no sign that said treasury. They didn't know. And Abhiram Prabhu, our dear godbrother, he was the temple president, and a very cool-headed Abhiram Prabhu. He heard this commotion. Somebody's yelling to Shingadev out there. He came out to check what's going on out there in the prasadam room. And he walks out the door and he sees these two guys with guns, and he goes, he turns around to go back into the treasury, and the guy takes the pistol and smashes him on the head and cuts him on the head. Didn't knock him cold, just a little cut, a little blood coming up. But Abhiram was so cool, cool as a cucumber, as we say in America. And he loudly said, everybody, and we could all hear him, he told the treasurer was sitting there behind the desk with a revolver in the drawer. And he said loudly and clearly, he said, get the gun and shoot the bastards. That's all they had to hear. They didn't have to see the gun. As soon as I heard that, they were running like scared rabbits. And in those days, whatever the temple president said, he's the authority, you do it without thinking. So the temple president grabbed the gun, he went pow, and he missed. He hit the wall instead. But they were long gone. We never saw him again. But that was another opportunity I saw, that to chant the name of the Lord when there's danger is very auspicious. You see. But we have to learn how to really take shelter of Krishna, you see, because we have no shelter other than Krishna. I mean, what shelter do we have, you see? Will your doctor save you? Will the Indian army save you? Will your bank balance save you? We have no shelter, you see. It's like that song by Narottam, oh my Lord, oh son of King Nanda. Together with Vishabhanu's daughter, I've got no shelter but Radha and Krishna. Humbly praise Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam is teaching us, we have no shelter but Radha and Krishna. So learn how to take shelter of Krishna at every minute. Not your mind, not your intelligence, not your bead bag. Of course, we use that to take shelter. Our bead bag is very important, because that's how we connect. We have our beads in there to connect with Krishna. But the beads themselves are not the thing. It's the mood of taking shelter of Krishna. Of course, those beads are very precious. I still have my beads that Prabhupada chanted on back in 1971. They're my dearmost possession. But the beads themselves will not save me. I must be in that mood of taking complete shelter of my beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and Lord Chaitanya and Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. That mood of completely taking shelter of them, you see, that's what actually saves us. So we have a few minutes left. I can ask if there's some questions. We also have people listening in from the internet. They can ask questions as well. Anybody have any questions? Okay, Prabhu? Someone may have to repeat. You come here and repeat if I need it, because my hearing isn't so good. Yeah.
Thank you for reminding us to take shelter of Krishna all the time. Thank you for reminding us to take shelter of Krishna all the time. I just have a question on one of the previous verses. You may or may not have an answer, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I genuinely would like to know. It's mentioned that the weapons of the demigods were transcendental, and it's mentioned in the verse, although they had no effect on Vrishasura. So I'm wondering if you have any insight as to why.
How the demigods could have transcendental weapons that had no effect on Vrishasura. Well, that's the difference between demigods and Krishna. It's a big difference. Even if they have very good weapons, they're not Krishna. Even if they have the best weapons, because they are not completely purified themselves, therefore there's a limitation to what potency they can manifest. Demigods are not, they're not akam bhaktas. So even if they have the very best weapon, the very best transcendental weapons, the wielder of the weapon also has to have that potency, you see. They are lacking that potency of akam bhakti. Yeah. Anything else? Is a written question. Okay, very good. And even written questions are welcome too. How can I leave my complicated nature and become as simple as a child? Engage your complicated nature in the service of Krishna. Simple thing, you see. We adults, we all have developed complicated natures. As children, we were very simple, but now we all these complicated, sophisticated natures. So, whatever nature you have, if you will simply engage that in the service of Krishna, take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, follow his instructions, work as a member of ISKCON in cooperation with the authority of ISKCON, you see. Whatever nature you have, complicated or simple, it doesn't matter. If you will take your nature, engage it in Krishna's service, then you'll become purified. And you'll achieve that simple state of pure love of God. The childlike state is very, very nice state, you see. So there's even a verse like that in the Bible. One has to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. So that simplicity of the child is very good. Especially the fact they don't have any sex desire, that's also very good, you see. The Kumaras, they wanted to remain like children. They didn't want to go through puberty. They wanted to remain little boys, you see. Because they wanted that mentality they found was very, very suitable for Krishna Bhakti. So the more we can have that simplicity of a small child, that is very, very good. So whatever complication nature you have, simply engage it under the order of your spiritual master, working in cooperation with the devotees of ISKCON, and you'll become perfect. You'll achieve that simplicity you desire, which will allow you to purchase Krishna by your pure love. Okay, more are coming in. Please tell Vishnu John Swami's pastimes in short. Are you kidding? I can't do that in short. I have to do that. That's a long story. Of course, he made me a devotee, so I'm very indebted to His Holiness Vishnu John Swami. I can say he was very, very kind. I was quite a character, to be honest. I think anybody else would have kicked me out of the temple immediately. But he was very, very kind. He one time asked Prabhupada this question. He said, Srila Prabhupada, he was a temple commander in L.A. before he took sannyas. And he was very good at engaging everybody in Krishna, keeping everybody happy and everybody fully engaged. He was very, very expert. So he asked Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, what if somebody, all they want to do is take prasadam? They don't want to do anything else. He said, as long as they chant Hare Krishna between each bite, it's okay. This is his kindness. He wanted to find a way that everybody could be a devotee, even if they just want to take prasadam. That was his great kindness. So it was because of his kindness I wasn't kicked out of the ashram, in spite of my wild nature. But really amazed me because a letter came from London. It was dated August 12, 1971. Prabhupada wrote me, he said, I've been told by Vishnu John Swami that you are engaged very nicely in devotional service there in our Austin Center. I was thinking, wow, talk about kindness. Here I am, a rascal causing so much trouble in the ashram. And he told Prabhupada, I'm serving nicely. Wow, what kindness. Because of his recommendation, Prabhupada accepted me and gave me the name Sankarshan Das. So it's by Vishnutam Maharaj's kindness, all I can say. And then I had a wonderful opportunity. It kind of amazed me because there was some wonderful, it was actually quite an amazing initiation ceremony because our temple president had just been with the devotees in London. His name was Ishan Prabhu. He had just been staying at John Lennon's estate with Prabhupada and all the London devotees. So he had this idea, we can cultivate the leaders of the society, because he was directly, you know, preaching to John Lennon of the Beatles. So he had this idea, you can preach to the leaders. So when he came to Austin, he decided to attend the city council meeting to cultivate the mayor of Austin. And for my initiation ceremony, Ishan Prabhu invited the mayor to come. And he did. He showed up at my initiation ceremony. The mayor of Austin came. And so the student newspaper had a picture of Vishnujan Swami giving the mayor a Simply Wonderful. And after I got initiated, you got to send your dakshina in. So Prabhupada is not there, so I sent my guru dakshina by a letter to London. And Prabhupada wrote me back. I sent a picture of Vishnujan Swami also, giving the mayor the Simply. And what amazed me here is I understood that by the mercy of Vishnujan Swami, I'm getting the blessings of Prabhupada. He's like the representative who's, through him, I'm getting the blessings of Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada, he told me when he said, please give my blessings to Vishnujan Swami. And I was amazed. Me? Give Prabhupada's blessings to Vishnujan Swami? How can I do that? But Prabhupada told me to do it, so I have to do it. But I was just... It was a wonderful relationship. And then one other thing. I was, previously I was a singer-songwriter and I was really attached to the songs of the counterculture, some of them. And there was one song by a band called the Jefferson Airplane, but it was a Christian hymn. They stuck it on one of their albums. And I really liked that song. It was a prayer to Jesus, begging for his mercy. And so I was coming back from a preaching engagement with Vishnujan Swami in San Marcos, about 80 miles south of Austin. We're heading up in a Jeep, just the two of us, four-wheel drive Jeep. We were heading north on I-35. The sun was setting over the hill country in the west. It was a very beautiful moment as the sun is setting. And then Vishnujan Swami, he had found out I liked that song, so he had us sing a duet. We sang that song together, driving up I-35. If you want to get to heaven, over on the other shore, stay out of the way of the long-tongued liar. Oh, good shepherd, feed my sheep. We sang that together. That's how much he would bend over backwards to cultivate somebody. He would sing a Christian hymn, a duet with some bhakta. Sing a duet with a bhakta just to capture him. Well, he did it. He really captured me. He really captured me. And he had me sing some of my songs at the Sunday Love Feast. I decided to write songs only about Krishna. I threw my 300 mundane songs in the garbage can in the temple and then started writing songs about Krishna consciousness. But he was really, really kind. And then one last anecdote. Later on, I was with him on the traveling road show. It was actually a traveling rock opera. It was quite amazing. It was a whole rock opera about a hippie who became a devotee. And we actually did it at Brandeis University. They paid $1,000 for us to put on this rock opera in the campus auditorium. And it was packed with students. It was wonderful. But anyway, we were going up to New Vrindavan just before Janmashtami to rehearse to rehearse the rock opera out in the cornfield. But then we were up at a form called Madhuban, which is away from the main form, Bahulaban, at that time. And now it's the time for the Sunday Gona meet. You put on your best dhoti and your best sari. We're going down to the Sunday Love Feast at the main form. And Vishnujan Swami is driving the bus. There was one song from a rock opera. It was when the boy ringer, the hippie, had a vision of Vrindavan. And the song went, glad you've come our way into Vrindavan. Sadness can't remain here in Vrindavan, like that. So Vishnu Jaswami is driving the bus, driving us down to the Sunday feast, and he's singing that song. It's like he's driving us into Vrindavan, you know. It was amazing. We're being driven in this bus by Vishnu Jaswami into Vrindavan. Glad you've come our way into Vrindavan. Sadness can't remain in here, Vrindavan, where all the trees, the fruits, and flowers sing of Krishna's name, like that. It was really, really amazing. It's just, you go, wow. There were so many wow moments when you're with him. He would do things and you just go, wow, this is amazing. What he's doing and how he's preaching and what he's doing and how he's saying it and the way he's acting. It was just an amazing person. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter. I think it was a letter to me. I can't remember. But he wrote a letter. He said, because Vishnu Jaswami is a very nice devotee, he is making very nice devotees. So I'm eternally indebted to him. So now we'll finish it up here with a couple more questions. What is the meaning of Krishna Anushilanam? I'm not a Sanskrit expert, but it's Anu means following. So I don't remember what Shilanam is. What is it, Shilanam?
Shilanam.
What does it mean? I don't know the Sanskrit meaning for Shilanam, but Anu means following. So that's all I can say about that. How to find the real sadhu? Prabhupada said you don't have to go looking for the spiritual master. Real guru means the real sadhu. You don't have to go looking for guru, you see. When you are ready, Krishna will send guru to you. So if you simply become in this mood that I want to develop pure devotional service, from now on I have no other desires, I have one desire only, and that is to become the pure devotee of Krishna as soon as possible. As soon as you have that desire, Krishna will see, oh, here is a sadhu who can help you do that. You see? As soon as you have that mood, then Krishna will give you the vision. Here is the sadhu or the sadhus, you see, who can help you to achieve that state. Simply be sincere to achieve pure devotional service, and then Krishna will show you who is that devotee or those devotees who can take you there. Okay? Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi.